Greetings. This is podcast number 5 of Blast the Right. I'm Jack Clark from therationalradical.com, www.therationalradical.com. We're going to have interspersed throughout the podcast audio clips of Bill O'Reilly, Geraldo Rivera, George Bush, and Rush Limbaugh. We're going to talk about how Americans are getting economically screwed, go on to see how Geraldo Rivera kisses up big time to Bill O'Reilly, and then end with 2 short takes on Katrina and Iraq. In the first segment, all I can say is, wow, even the cons are admitting the economy is screwed up. What am I talking about? Well, the Census Bureau reported last week that the poverty rate rose. There are now 1 million more people in poverty than there were last year, as there were more last year than the year before, and back and back and back. In fact, that seems to be a hallmark of the Bush administration economic policies. Every year, more and more people are in poverty. Not only that, but the median pre-tax income, meaning the income that half the people have more than and half the people have less than, was at its lowest point since 1997, if you adjust for inflation. And of course, again, we have George Bush. It started at the end of Clinton, maybe, but Bush has not done anything to reverse it. In fact, it's gotten worse under him. And of course, what are people doing to compensate? They work more hours. So their pay stagnates or drops, so they just increase the amount of work that they do. No wonder people have no free time now. Now, why did I say wow? Because I read that a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, which is a far-right research think tank in Washington, the guy's name is Philip L. Swagel, if that means anything, he was quoted as saying, "It looks like the gains from the recovery haven't really filtered down. The gains have gone to owners of capital and not to workers." Well, gee, that sounds like, I don't know, almost like a Marxist. When the right-wingers at the American Enterprise Institute are reduced to speaking like Marxists, you know Bush has done a hell of a job in taking from the poor and giving to the rich. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood in a suburb of New York. There, very, very few 2-income families. In almost every family of my friends and others that I knew, the father worked and the mother took care of the house. The fathers weren't rich. They had average middle-class jobs. But with those average middle-class jobs, they were able to get a new car every couple of years. They were able to put their kids through college. They were able to afford health insurance, vacations, home improvement. They were able to save for their retirement. In other words, they were able to provide for themselves and their family in a decent manner. They played by the rules, and the rules rewarded them with a decent level of income, with a decent standard of living. Contrast that to now. You got all these families working people working 2 jobs, or both parents working, or both parents working 2 jobs, and they still can't make ends meet. Now you wonder, why is that? Well, I know why it is. The reason is because 10% of the people in the country have 70% of the wealth. The income gap is not quite as bad, but if 10% of the people have 70% of the wealth, there's just not enough left for everyone else to get by. And of course, you must understand that this wealth inequality is a direct result of long-term income inequality. The poor and the middle class spend most of what they make. They save very little. The wealthy can save a huge proportion of their income because there's a limit to how much money they can spend. And over time, their wealth accumulates and accumulates and accumulates until we have the situation that we face today. Now, what I'd like to know is, given the frenzy that the Bushians in Washington have pushed through and are continuing to push through, tax cuts for the top 1, 2, 3, 4% of the population, how much more do they want? They're also going to repeal, or going to try and repeal, what they call the death tax, but which really is a millionaires and billionaires tax, because unless you're a multimillionaire when you die, you don't owe any of that tax. So they have 70% of the wealth, the top 10% of the people. How much more do they want? Do they want 75%, 80%? How about 90%? 95%? Hey, maybe they should have all the wealth and the rest of us could have nothing. Is that what they want? Their greed knows no bounds. Their greed knows no bounds. Those of you who support Bush and are not wealthy, and your chances of becoming wealthy are very, very minuscule. Certainly some people do advance from one income class to another, but most people stay about the same. Those of you who are not wealthy, not in the top 1, 2, 3% of income, if you don't earn a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, and if you support Bush, what you're basically doing is voting to impoverish yourself. You're voting to put into power people whose economic ideology is to let a small percentage of the population aggrandize unto themselves an ever-increasing share of the nation's wealth and income. And that increased wealth and income that they get is going to be taken from you and your children. If that's what you want, keep voting for George Bush. That's all I can say. If that's what you want, keep voting for George Bush and his successors. If you don't want that, if you want some more fairness in the economy, if you want to have a decent economic future, and if you want to see your kids be better off than you, not worse, then you have to stop your support of Bush and those who support policies that he supports. You have to start changing what you're doing. On the subject, let me add one more thing. In case any less than honest right-wingers deny that their ultimate goal is to destroy the social safety net and destroy any semblance of economic justice in this country, tell them what this guy said.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
Yes, that's right. Rush Limbaugh, chief cheerleader for the right wing, being honest in a rare moment. Listen again.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
Irrefutable, isn't it? In the second segment, we're going to hear a clip of Geraldo Rivera speaking to Bill O'Reilly on O'Reilly's TV program. Rivera is outside the and inside the New Orleans Convention Center covering the terrible situation there. A bit of background on his TV program, which is what I watch. I don't know what he says on his radio program. On his TV program, O'Reilly is always telling people that he's going to do things for them, that he's going to protect them. He tells guests, if anyone bothers you, you let me know and we'll take care of them. In the connection with the Hurricane, O'Reilly has been saying he's going to do this and he's going to do that and he's going to help these people and he's going to help that people. All right. Is he? I don't know. Regarding Geraldo's background, I first became aware of Geraldo when he had the phenomenal reporting on the Willowbrook Mental Institution in New York many, many years ago. He burst in with camera crews and discovered simply horrific situation with the way the patients were being abused there. And that was a good thing he did. And he has done a lot of good reporting. Unfortunately, he joined Fox and became what I call a Fox whore, basically towing the company line, being gung-ho for the war in Iraq. And indeed, what he does that I hate the most is how he kisses up to Fox personalities, especially to Bill O'Reilly. Now, with that background, let's listen to the clip.
This is Dante's Inferno, Bill. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This is the most horrible thing I've ever seen in a civilized nation. This is 30,000 people with dead babies inside. That's not hype. That's fact.
All right. Well, we're trying to get those buses in there tonight. Security looks like it's pretty good right now.
You can do it, Bill. You could do it better than the governor. Forget about the governor. bypass the governor. You do it. You're the man to do it.
All right. Well, we're doing
you
it.
Do
I mean,
it.
We're
we count
look.
On you. Me
we
and
got
you,
we got all guns blazing, Geraldo. Everybody's been informed.
I
the
hear
White
you,
House
brother.
Is going to be informed. If we can get those buses in there tonight, we will absolutely work all night to do so.
Get them in.
There were 30,000 people in that convention center. You'd need dozens or scores of buses making many trips to get them out of there. O'Reilly saying he's going to get buses there is patently ridiculous, especially in that quantity of buses. O'Reilly's megalomania is well documented and sort of a joke, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Now, as far as Geraldo goes, Geraldo was doing good reporting there. He was really upset about the appalling conditions inside, and in fact, he started crying. He made me cry when I watched it. He was doing good reporting. But what's this kissing up to Bill? Do you remember that part? Here, listen just to that part of the clip again.
You it's pretty good
it.
Right
you can
now.
Do it, Bill. You could do it better than the governor. Forget about the governor. Bypass the governor. You do it. You're the man to do it.
All right. Well, we're doing
you
it.
Do
I mean,
it.
We're
we count
look.
On you. Me
we
and
got.
You.
So, I'm trying to decide after listening to it. I know when I was listening to it live, it just sounded like he was kissing up to him. Maybe he was so desperate he was thinking of Bill as a father figure. Oh, Daddy Bill, you can help us. The governor can't help us, but you're the powerful Bill. Well, you know what? Whether it was conscious kissing up to Bill O'Reilly or some subconscious thing where he thinks of O'Reilly as a daddy figure and he just naturally, without even thinking about it, seeks protection from Bill. In either case, it's pretty pathetic, I think. Okay, now I want to give two short takes, one about Katrina, one about Iraq. Katrina, I hear on TV and the radio some Bush supporters going, "Now, why are you blaming George Bush?" Well, in case you run into one of these brain-dead people, you can have three things to tell them. One, levees. Two, FEMA. Three, wetlands. That's levees, FEMA, wetlands. Let's go over it quickly. One, levees. George Bush and his right-wing killing machine in Congress severely cut funding to repair and rebuild and strengthen the levee system around New Orleans. Everyone knew that the current levee system was only good enough for a Category 3 storm. Katrina was a 4. God only knows what would have happened had a 5 hit. Number 2, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Bush downgraded this from a cabinet department and put in charge of it total incompetents who knew nothing about emergency management. The head of it is some kind of guy who was his previous job was the head of the International Arabian Horse Association or something like that. Three, wetlands. Wetlands serve as a natural barrier to hurricanes. George Bush and his right-wing killing machine in Congress severely cut funding to protect the wetlands. In fact, they removed those wetlands from protection. Okay, so you got levees, FEMA, and wetlands. If anyone says, "Why are you blaming George Bush?" The second short take is about Iraq. With all the other news, you probably didn't know this. Last month, August, there were 85 U.S. soldiers killed in action. That is a 50% increase over July. That is the worst month since January. Now, I got these figures from the website www.icasualties.org, and they get them from the State Department, so they're solid. 85 soldiers killed in August. When Dick Cheney said that the insurgency was in its last throes, the only thing that was in its last throes was any shred of credibility he had. Of course, anyone with half a brain didn't give him any credibility in the first place. Certainly not after all this time. The other thing about Iraq to note this last week is its constitution. The constitution says that no law can contradict the established rulings of Islam. That means that they have a theocracy. So we used to have a secular dictatorship there. Now We overthrew Saddam to establish an Islamic theocracy. And what's even worse, they've signed a defense pact with Iran. Yes, Iran, the country that was screaming and yelling about that it has a nuclear weapons program, that it has WMD, and that it needs sanctions, and that the neocons want to invade. Yes, Iraq signed a mutual defense pact with Iran. Can you believe that? It seems like the neocons got royally screwed in the global geostrategic game that they were playing. Put that in a right-winger's pipe and let him smoke it. Oh, and one more thing. If you're discussing this with a right-winger, and the right-winger is one who is of the opinion that, well, we had to invade because of 9-1-1, September 11th, don't you remember that? If you get one of those people, just tell them the following.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
And tell them who said it, as you can tell when you listen again.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
That's right. What did you say, George?
No evidence.
I can't hear you.
No evidence.
Louder.
No evidence.
Okay, now the whole world hears you, George. But no need to be yelling in my ear, you know what I'm saying? Well, that just about wraps up podcast number 5 of Blast the Right. One housekeeping note, I'm wondering, is it better for me to have fewer podcasts that are longer or to just put them out more often with a shorter length? I'd really like to know what listeners think. So if you email me at rationaladadelphia.net, rationaladadelphia.net, I'd like to hear from you. As always, if you liked what you heard on this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about it. Spread the word. And until next time, I'll sign off and say I love you all, including all you right-wing pieces of crap.